We're reading from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. I'm reading from the Amplified version, so I hope you can follow from whatever version you've got. So then, brethren, consecrated and set apart for God, who share in the heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we have confessed as ours when we embrace the Christian faith. Faithful he was to him who appointed him, as Moses was also faithful in the whole house. Yet Jesus has been considered worthy of much greater honor and glory than Moses, just as the builder of a house has more honor than the house. For every house is built and furnished by someone, but the builder of all things and the furnisher is God. And Moses certainly was faithful in the administration of all God's house. As a ministering servant, he was a testimony to the things which were to be spoken. But Christ was faithful over his house as a son. And it is we who are of his house, if we hold fast and firm to the end of our joy, of our joyful and confidence and sense of triumph in our hope. Thank you, Jesus.
It's lovely to be here. A great joy for Carol and me to come. Ely is a very special place for us anyway, not just because of the free parking. But over many years, we've loved to come. And tonight has been a special joy. I have to say, I've been at some gatherings where you felt the aliens got there first and sucked the life force out and just left the bodies and nothing else. That's clearly not the case, as we've shared tonight. It's a great joy to be here. And the theme that I've been given is confidence in the gospel. It's a great theme. Building confidence is a very appealing idea. There are workshops on how to build confidence and self-assertion classes. But most of us will know, I guess, that there are times when we look back when we wish, in some circumstances, we'd had more confidence and more courage, more boldness. And especially, I think, for Christians. It's become tougher, hasn't it, compared with the times of our forefathers and foremothers. My first church 40 years ago in Lancashire was, on good days, a full and lively church, 300 souls. But last year, it was sold to become a community centre for the Muslim population. And the few, relatively few believers now worship in the local church. And when the Commission on Religion and Belief in Public Life published last month its findings, they declared, as I'm sure you saw, that 2 out of 5 people in Britain now only identify as Christians. And most of those don't go to church. So the humanists and the atheists made great fun about how Christianity was on the way out. And we recognize in our culture, rarely is it direct hostility, sometimes it is, and in certain parts of the world church, it certainly is today, frighteningly so. But it's much more the sort of bland acceptance that Your opinion, well, you're welcome to it. As long as you don't think that it's relevant to anyone else, what you believe doesn't make any difference. And the oddly wonderful thing about Christian confidence, and Christians are meant to be confident, is that it is entirely countercultural. It works in entirely different ways. It's never about pumping yourself up and asserting what you've done and being proud of yourself. In fact, that's never worked. It never will work. But when God speaks about his people having confidence, it's about the way we think and we belong. In the words of this unusual text, it's an unusual part of scripture for some of us. First, it's fix your thoughts on Jesus and who he is. For the writer of the Hebrews, who's very concerned about his Jewish audience, he titles Jesus as apostle, a high priest, and he wants you to know that he's much greater than Moses, who is the greatest. And when you look at the story of Moses, I mean, he's just a giant in the story of the Old Testament. But he wants them to know that there is one now, Jesus, who is far greater in every possible way. And as he makes this claim, he draws us to a place where, I don't know what title you most prefer for Jesus. For me, one of the favorites is King, which is another way of translating Christ or Messiah. Jesus, King. Because when you speak about King, you're speaking about a reality of a kingdom, which of course was at the center of his teaching, and of him in action over us. Jesus the King, born when God breaks into our world in Christmas, so recently celebrated, extraordinary. Should never get over that. Born among us, teaching us and showing us that there is a completely different way of being humans. And then going to the cross to reclaim a broken world and confront the consequences of rebellion. And then rising from the dead in a way that is so extraordinary and vindicated, raised, but now alive in a way that is unbelievable as a king, now its spirit at large and at live. And it's he who is the biggest deal there's ever been. And it's he that we fix our thoughts upon. Now, fix, of course, is a word. Some of us are quite good at fixing things. A fix can mean all sorts of things. We sometimes use it when we're talking about things which are wobbling and need to be fixed, or disorganized, or all over the place. In our house, one of the jobs which we didn't make it a New Year's resolution, because they never work anyway, not for us anyway, but it ought to be something we do, and that is sort our photographs out, because we've got boxes of pre-digital photographs, as I'm sure some of you have. They're very random. They're extremely interesting. You open them up, and they tell the stories, all sorts of things about the family, where we've been on holiday, events, and they're just all over the place, completely random, and you look at these, and we know at one day, and we've done it, and are really pleased when we've done it. There's nothing like fixing them into a framework, an album. Something which puts them into sweet. When you have it in an album and you turn, you can see how they belong together, how they relate. And instead of just being all over the place and random and coming at you, suddenly they belong in a sequence. What happens when you fix your thoughts on Jesus is that all those things which come at us from everywhere and make up our lives so far and the things still to come, all those things actually belong in a sequence where if you fix your thoughts on Jesus the King, then you see things belonging in his purpose, and that the one who's reigning over us is at the sort of beginnings and the endings of that. It's just extraordinary. And there's a formula, because the more you fix, like in the morning, this is the day the Lord's given, Jesus is alive, and whatever happens today, I realize he's involved with that. If you think that, then he's going to be extremely important. But if, of course, you only think of Jesus when you're in church or when it's a religious occasion or occasionally when you're in trouble, then of course he won't be so important. But fixing your thoughts on who Jesus is brings things together. And when people say, well, you can think that if you like, but don't think it's relevant to me. This is the oddly glorious thing which gives you all the confidence in the world. It happens to be relevant to everyone. There is nobody outside this. This is the Christian claim of a Lord who comes to a cosmos, not just Middle East, not just to people who believe in him, but as a kingdom works its way through, we are in the purposes of God, and there's much we don't understand, but when you fix your thoughts on Jesus, this reality is there holding us. And this is confidence, fixing your thoughts on him. And you know, when you get, because our world is so heavily secular, our culture, like the news bulletins, and you get, tonight if we see them, you get these sometimes sort of terrifying news events, one after another, and there's nothing about God. And you sometimes you can almost feel, well, where is he? What's it about? And I'm sure many of you saw it, and I just love it, that medical, scientific event that was part of a national news. I saw it on the news. And it was embedded in these different events because it was the first time in Britain there had ever been laser brain surgery, and they got this young man, 22 years old, with a tumour the size of a golf ball, and they were, for the first time in this country, using laser beams to try and kill off the unhealthy tissue. But as they explained in the bulletin, it can also kill healthy tissue. And this was the first time they did it. And maybe you saw it when they went into, they had the film running, and as it was running, the surgeon said to him to test whether it had done any damage, would he sing? And did some of you see it? And he's still with his eyes closed and very croakily, and he was lying there. He said, "The sun comes up. A new day is dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever comes before me, I keep on singing till the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship his holy name." 10,000 reasons. You know it, many of you. We sing it within tonight, could have done. But there's a sense in which suddenly in that shaft, and I roared with laughter when I saw that. I don't think anybody in the hospital realized that here was a shaft of sheer Jesus, of God, as he always is, as he is in all scientific endeavor and all medical breakthroughs and all the things we're grateful for. Yes. And that's why fixing thoughts, it's so necessary, especially in a culture which would try and lessen the impact and say, no, when all the time, he holds it together, he makes it sense. And there's one other thing which is especially important here today, which in the text is really emphasized. Fix your thoughts on Jesus and who he is, Jesus the King. And we belong in his house. Remember, we belong in his house, in God's house. It's a very graphic way. It says Christ is faithful, the King is faithful as Son of God over God's house. And we are God's house. That's NIV, not Amplified, which does amplify. It's interesting. There are lots more words there. But Christ is faithful as Son of God over God's house, and we are God's house. It's a graphic way of saying that God's building something with people, which is magnificently wonderful, and you can't immediately see it. You know, when you drive on the A10 and you crest that crest at Streatham, you see the cathedral, and sometimes it's gleaming the sun hits it, and it does testify to generations of worship and continuing worship. It's just magnificent. But there is something else, even more magnificent. And that is, as God looks upon us, as the city of Ely and those of us joined, we belong to a spirit, what Peter says, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, a royal people, a people who belong forever, a people militant we're right now. Not as many of us as there once have been, and some of us know that in our churches, but we are part of militant and triumphant, a communion of saints, the people that God is building with. And every time that you and I reach out and touch and love and pray together and work for him, it rejoices God, our builder, Jesus, who's over us, the King. And within it, when we look to each other, as this happened tonight, when we look to each other and see who we are and recognize what's happening, we have a greater confidence that God gives us because Jesus as King is building us together, his house. We have Radio 4 on in our house the entire time. I mustn't exaggerate. I suppose at night it goes off, but even then it can seem to be on. And so I hear a lot of stuff on Radio 4, whether I want to or not. And my wife says, I didn't hear that. I block it out. And I say, well, why do we have, anyway, we won't go into that particular discussion, but the reality is I hear all sorts of things. So last month, or not long ago, I heard Kylie Minogue on Desert Island Discs. You see, this is the kind of stuff you hear. So I heard Kylie explaining various of her favourite discs, and then she was asked how did she cope with performing before the thousands of people. And sometimes she, presumably she didn't feel like this, and she said, no, sometimes I don't. But she said, I was told a long time ago that before I go out, you know, I'm on the side of the stage and I'm going to go out, and I'm going to, before I go out, I need to put on my ego jacket. And she said, it's been a wonderful advice, because I'm there ready to go, and I put on my ego jacket, and I said, I can do this. I can do it. And she goes out and does a thing. And the amazing thing is, it's in that verse, it's right at the end, that when we belong, when we know that we really belong together, when there's love and prayer, and a sense that unity isn't just some paper thing, but that we really desire to grow. Yes, different traditions, and some of us sing, the sun comes up, and some of us don't really know it. All sorts of, and that's part of a richness, I think, of the house. But when that happens, it says, we are all God's house. If we, and in NIV, it's, if we indeed firmly hold to our confidence, that's the word, to our confidence, it's also courage, and the hope in which we boast, that's the word, boast, that actually, when we belong to our Lord, there is something just so majestic about being in his house. And people will look at it and people will pass it by and people will mock. But our confidence comes from fixing our thoughts upon Jesus the King, who brings all things together, will do ultimately for all to see, but who's building his house even with us. And as we move on and as we greet each other and as tonight, hopefully we make new links and we're inspired by the way in which the Lord can use us and do things, so the extraordinary reality of being in something where we can almost boast because of who he is, firmly holding our confidence and the hope in which we glory, we boast. So these are the days when many will look upon us and think this that I've just said is wishful thinking, optimism. we look to the one who is unlike any other who has ever lived, and who, dying and rising, reigns, and whose first word will at the end be joined by his last word, and every knee shall bow and confess him. And this extraordinary reality, which means we need in his house to keep looking to him and building for him. And in the many mysteries, pluralism and relativism, lots of things which claim us and say, no, 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 you can't. We turn our thoughts to look to Jesus. That's the message tonight. So instead of letting things random and come at you, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the King, who he is and what he does. What he does. And belong to his house with all you have. Amen.